Brothers and sisters, in the last session, Elihu advised Job, saying, "Don't forget to praise God who's doing great things in His power." Still today, God is demonstrating that He's alive through His power. People who've been healed of incurable diseases and resolved their problems which were beyond their capability confess God the Creator is alive. They open the door to their heart and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thus, God manifesting His power is an expression of His love and desire to save numerous souls. So far, you've witnessed numerous signs and wonders and firsthand experienced mighty works manifested by God. This has served as a driving force behind your spiritual growth and the church's revival. And the branch churches worldwide have been able to run passionately because of we have witnessed the amazing power. And whenever he conducted crusade, he manifested great power and demonstrated the evidence of the living God. So there were revivals in the local churches, and we also had more branch churches. We've seen those. A God who is guiding us to heaven with such great power and love is worthy to receive praise and glory. I pray in our Lord's name that you will realize God's deep love through today's message and give glory and praise to Him, as said in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do His name, bring an offering and come before Him, worship the Lord in holy array. In the last session, Elihu said to Job, God is exalted in His power. Today's passage specifies what the works of His power are. Chapter 36, verses 27 and 28 read, "For He draws up the drops of water, they distill rain from the mist, which the clouds pour down, they drip upon men abundantly." Here, Elihu was talking about water circulation. Vapor in the air condenses into water droplets at a certain temperature. As water droplets gather, they form clouds. These droplets come together and fall to the ground, becoming rain. Water droplets can also turn into ice in low temperatures. These ice particles formed in clouds fall as small or hail. As a result, water is evenly distributed throughout the earth, allowing all vegetation and living things to survive. Water that has fallen as rain or snow turns into vapor by the sunlight and rises back to the sky, becoming clouds. God has created water to take a form of gas, liquid, or solid at a specific temperature and circulate. There are other records telling us of water circulation. We read in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 13, when He utters His voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and He causes clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from His storehouses. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3 says, if the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. People began to understand water circulation around the 16th or 17th century, but the Bible already mentioned it, people of this earth did so, but the Bible already mentioned it thousands of years ago in the book of Job, Jeremiah, and Ecclesiastes. As we can see, the order established by God the Creator has been retained without alterations for millenniums. This is not a result of evolution, but the work of God the Creator. In this vast, boundless universe are countless stars whose numbers is beyond our imagination. None of those stars were created without a meaning. God created every one of them for a purpose. In heaven, we'll figure out such mysteries of the universe. simply by looking at the solar system where we are living in, we cannot but be awed by the profound mysteries of the creation. The positions and sizes of all planets revolving around the sun and the distances between those planets have been set at the most appropriate levels. The sun can't be bigger or smaller than it is now. The distances from the sun to the earth and to other planets shouldn't be closer or farther than they are now. The same goes for the distances between the planets themselves. If even a minor change occurs in all these elements making up the solar system cannot be maintained. Given that the galaxy is incomparably bigger than the solar system, can you imagine how much more complex the order of the galaxy is? And what about the whole universe, which includes numerous galaxies? The argument that all this was created by a Big Bang and accidentally began operating in precise order is total nonsense. God established the order and laws of the universe following His accurate design, and He set the size and position of each star accordingly. Everything in the solar system and the universe, including the revolution and rotation of the earth, is operated in precise order no matter how much time passes. Elihu went on to say in chapter 36, verse 29, "Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thundering of his pavilion?" Here, the spreading of the clouds refers to clouds being displayed in a variety of forms. Whenever wind blows, clouds take different forms, creating such a beautiful sight. Fluffy clouds blooming like pure ripe flowers, those in the shapes of animals, birds, human faces, those looking like giant cotton candies. There are heart-shaped clouds over there. Look at that. You can see many beautiful shapes from the clouds. Well, that looks like a heart, heart-shaped. And those whose shape resemble the coastline of a country. In the verse, the thundering of his pavilion refers to the sound of thunder, namely, Elihu questioned Job, "Does anyone know how God spreads the clouds and creates roars of thunder?" If asked this question today, many people would revolve their knowledge and answer as follows. Clouds are created as water vapor in the air condenses, and as air rises and cools, clouds in various shapes are formed. Thunder is a sound produced by the rapid expansion of air caused by a flash of lightning. To briefly explain the difference between thunder and lightning here, lightning is an electric discharge that occurs between clouds or between clouds and the ground, and thunder is the sound resulting from the discharge. But since Elihu lacked such scientific knowledge thousands of years ago, he made a remark meaning that no one can fathom God's profound providence in the creation. He went on to say in chapter 36, verses 30 and 31, "Behold, he spreads his lightning about him, and he covers the depth of the sea. For by these he judges the peoples. He gives food in abundance." God spreading His lightning about Him and covering the depth of the sea signifies that God not only illuminates the whole world, but also covers the depth of the ocean with lightning. Of course, as soon as lightning touches the surface of the water, it mostly gets reflected, not going deep down the ocean. But as said in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24, "Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill the heavens and the earth? Declares the Lord. God is everywhere in the world, ruling over all things under heaven." Despite the cutting-edge technology today, human beings cannot explore the ocean depths in its entirety. But our God, the Creator, can search everywhere, whether it's heaven, earth, or the ocean, and even knows what is hidden deep down somewhere. Our life, our thoughts, our mind, even the thoughts we hover, He knows everything. We cannot hide anything from Him. But people say, people try to keep hide things from God. They, as they hate and have ill feelings, they say to God, "Because He did this to me." They don't admit their hatred. Then they cannot receive the power to change themselves. God knows even the depth of our heart, so we have to lay down ourselves. We have to say, "Father, I've lost the fullness. I have lost the joy. I feel somewhat afflicted. I feel somewhat uneasy. I feel annoyed. Please let me realize the evil in my heart." And you pray like that and humbly admit yourself with the word of truth. But you don't give an excuse saying, "Because he's like that, because his character is not match." So this is hiding things from God. So we cannot change ourselves. Moreover, Jonah, after he disobeyed, he went to the bottom of the ship, but God knew everything and he watched everything. He gave an awakening to Job. So there's nothing we can hide from God. And we have to know that. And his goodness and his justice is everywhere. And for he has such great power, he serves as the righteous judge for all peoples, and he abundantly pours out his grace so all living things can survive. That's why Elihu remarked, "For by these he judges the peoples, he gives food in abundance." This means that God sometimes punishes people with thunder and lightning, and other times abundantly supplies food. Regardless of generation, when people hear a roar of thunder or see a flash of lightning, they are startled or frightened, looking for places to hide in. What is the reason? From a spiritual perspective, such fear results from sin. Living in the world, many people have covered their hearts with much falsehood and untruth. So on the outside, they deny God, but in the depths of their heart, they are afraid of God and the afterlife. People who have not accepted the Lord, they don't acknowledge the Lord. They don't believe in the Lord, but in the depths of their heart, there is the seed of life. So they have questions like, "What if there is God? What if there is an afterlife?" So they have fear. As they have committed sins and harbor evil in the heart, they have fear of the judgment and hell. That's why they are surprised by a clash of thunder or a sudden loud noise. But if we have goodness filled in our hearts and live in the light, there's no need to fear anything, because we know and believe that God is. Before you were changed in this church, you were startled, you were surprised by a thunder or lightning, and there are people who jokingly surprise someone, and they are like, "Oh, And they have an excuse that because I'm weak. But if you accept the Lord and live in the light, you have spiritual boldness. So even if someone tries to surprise you, you don't react that way. Even though you hear some sudden loud voice of thunder, you are not startled. Because people also have fear of some dark places. Worldly people are afraid of in a dark place. If they visit some countryside, if they are walking through some gravesite, if they are going through a mountain, and worldly people, even a robust, strong, tall man, are afraid of in a dark places. But I'm not afraid of those places. Why should we be afraid? We know that we are not afraid. We shouldn't be afraid of the dark, some spiritual beings. Of course, sometimes if an animal or beast comes by while my driving, I'm a little concerned. But I'm hardly afraid of. But even though you have accepted the Lord, but are afraid of some dark place, you have to look back on yourself. You know, there are demons. There are spiritual beings. So you don't have to be afraid of demons. We are the sons and daughters of God. So demons are trembled before us and run away. They have nothing to do before us. You should have such a spiritual boldness because you are walking in the light and walking in the truth. But unless you walk in the truth, you are afraid. So through that, you can examine how you have lived by the word, and you should make a resolve to live by His word. Because we know and believe that God is always protecting us, we are not afraid. Knowing that we will enter heaven even if we die, we are not frightened at all. Even Christians may have fear depending on how far they are from the true faith. Not having lived in the truth, Elihu himself was also scared when lightning or thunder hit. Since he believed that God punished and cursed people through thunder and lightning, he said in the passage, "By these he judges peoples. Thunder and lightning often involves rain." And from the Bible, we do find that God once punished people by rain. When the world was drenched in sins and evil in the days of Noah, God sent great rain for 40 days, judging the world with flood. There are rain of grief, which gives people punishment, and rain of blessing that grows all vegetation and brings life and abundance. In the following verse, Elihu said, "He covers his hand with the lightning and commands it to strike the mark." In the eyes of Elihu, when lightning struck, it looked like the flash of light was hitting a target. Whatever is hit by lightning ends up being its target. In the eyes of Elihu, God lifted up lightning with his two hands and shot it at the target. Nowadays, lightning rods are being widely used in protecting buildings and important facilities. But decades ago, when people didn't have lightning rods, we heard the news of people getting injured or dying by getting hit by a thunder. But nowadays we have tools that prevent us from getting hit by our lightning. There are lightning rods, so we don't have damage from the lightning. But Decades ago, when people didn't have lightning rods, lightning would directly fall on buildings or people, causing damage. With the advance of science, we do know that lightning is a natural phenomenon. But many years ago, when people had no scientific explanation for it, they considered it a means of punishment for God, like Elihu did. When a person got hit by a lightning and died, this was seen as a curse from God, and people concluded he must have committed a lot of sins. Before science advanced, people were afraid of natural phenomena, and they acknowledged heaven, acknowledged God, but they also misunderstood that such things were, and when there was a solar eclipse, people trembled in fear and thought that they were being destroyed. But anyway, before the advance of science, people had showed such reactions, and Elihu also misunderstood God. He went on to say in chapter 36, verse 33, its noise declares his presence, the cattle also, concerning what is coming up. He meant to say that when there is a flash of lightning and a roar of thunder, even animals as well as men would predict an upcoming storm. Most animals have more sensitive hearing and a sense of smell than men. A clash of thunder is loud even to men's ears, but animals can detect it from places much farther away. They are also believed to quickly sense smell in the air and know in advance that a rain or storm is approaching. Once animals detect these signals, they instinctively move to a safe place to run away from danger. Birds hide in higher places or into trees before the wind gets stronger. Beasts of the earth go into burrows or hide under trees, and insects also evacuate to safer places in advance. And before science developed, and when bird flew at a low altitude, people had to prepare themselves for also ants moving in, and through the such natural phenomena, human beings could prepare themselves for disaster. But thankfully, even God gave such outstanding abilities to insects and animals, so they instinctively detect such signals. Because they are so weak, God provided a way for them to survive through that way. While humans predict weather and climate changes through technology and science, animals detect natural phenomena through God-given instincts. Then, what did Elihu intend to say in the passage? Hey Job, when thunder and lightning hit, even animals can notice an upcoming storm and hide themselves. But why have you failed to notice God's punishment, opposed God, and insisted that only you are right? If you don't obey my words, you are lesser than animals. What Elihu said was hurtful to Job. It was, and because the words were mixed with feelings and he was rebuking Job, it was not right. But from Elihu's remarks, we can learn a lesson. God is the creator of all things, and he repays us according to our deeds, and God created a heaven and hell, and He repays us according to our deeds on earth. And when we are faithful to God, He repays us with glory in heaven. And if we postpone our duties, put off our duties, we are. And some Christians may not, even though they receive salvation, their glory in heaven all differ. And Elihu explained the natural phenomena, like, and he said that animals detect a disaster and they hide away. But he was questioning Job that he was not. You know, we have seen manifestations of God's power. They are beyond man's capability. This is the evidence of the living God. And we have seen numerous evidences that help us believe in the God. There are evidences that convince us of the existence of heaven and hell. But why do, you know, even animals, but why even Christians, even after they see the power of God, they live as they please? This is the foolishness. We should never live like that. God surely repays us and judges us according to our deeds, and the judgment will come upon all of us. So we have to stay awake. And let me conclude the message to your brothers and sisters. God is the brothers and sisters, God created all things in the universe to be in perfect order and has everything in nature operating in wonderful and harmonious ways. God's love as well as His power and divine nature are deeply embedded in all creation. By the way, the reason that people get startled and frightened by various natural phenomena is that they have sins. This is also because they misunderstand God as a scary one. In the Bible are a number of scenes where God showed His wrath. We have to know that this results from the earnest love of God who wants people to turn from sins. God is love, and He's the one who doesn't break off a better reed or put out a smoldering wick until He leads justice to victory. But we also have to know that God's patience is more fearful than thunder and lightning. Once thunder and lightning are gone, that's it. But God's patience and perseverance are definitely accompanied with consequences, which means there are God's love and His justice. God was patient with the Israelites for long, yet the first generation of the Exodus constantly showed their lack of faith and made complaints. In the end, God declared that they wouldn't make it to Canaan because of their disbelief. Things unfolded exactly as written in Numbers chapter 14, verse 33. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness. They underwent 40-year trials in the wilderness. None of them, except Joshua and Caleb, entered Canaan. For God's word is the truth itself. The judgment is done exactly according to the words recorded. Thus, we are to fear God who judges according to the word rather than thunder, lightning, man's words and power, or their persecution. We shouldn't be cowards who fear for our surroundings or how people view us. Instead, we should be afraid of violating the word of God who is righteous and good. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 tells us, "Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." This isn't to say that you have to be scared of God while walking with the Lord. Once we walk in the light and the truth, we can come closer and closer to God without being scared of Him. By living so, we can experience how He always keeps us safe in this harsh world. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 33 says, "But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil." And Psalm chapter 32 verse 6 reads, "Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him." I pray in our Lord's name that you will always live in the word of truth and stay on alert in prayer, thereby enjoying true peace and blessings.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.